You are listening to a Central Life Christian Church presentation. For more information, visit centrallife.com.au.
How are you today? Good? How are you feeling? Good? On a scale of 1 to 10? Who? 4? You can't be a 4. Are there any other 4s, 6s, 4s? A little bit below average? A bit above average? You're not going to tell me, are you? You know, I think church is one of the most wonderful places to be. I was a little melancholy last night, which is strange for an extrovert. And I lit myself a little fire and I was just praying to God. And in fact, I was complaining a bit and doing some things like that. And there came a moment in my thinking that I started to think right. I was thinking not too good, but I started to think right. And I pulled myself around and had a cup of tea and started to talk to God the right way. And the church is a little bit like that. I saw a picture this morning of a conduit, and like an electric conduit. And through the week, I made a mistake and I cut through a Telstra conduit. And it's cost me. But I accidentally cut through it with an unknown area through concrete, and we cut through it. So we had a jackhammer up. I had to quickly just twist the blue and the white one back together, and they got their phone back on. But in the process, and so basically what I had to do was we had to pull a new line, and it was a rural property. And so we had to pull a new line from there all the way back to the road. It was over, a couple of hundred metres of cable. We had to pull a new cable right through. But in doing that, it was very interesting. There was a problem with the conduit. We didn't realise it, or no one realised it was under the ground. And all the way back to the post, the conduit had come out of its socket and the cable was going out into the dirt, coming back around and going in. So we found it very hard to pull the new cable through, wondering why. And so we got to the very end. It wouldn't go through this bit. And we ended up digging and finding the problem. We were able to put it back together and it just flowed really easily. And often it's like that. Sometimes we have to dig a little to get to the problem. Sometimes we have to expose some things in order for us to come into a place of freedom where things would pull through easily. And church is a little bit like that. For me, church is great because the worship took me to a place today where I needed my conduit cleaned. My thinking was still not great, but now it's a lot clearer. It was like a new wineskin. I'm a carrier of the anointing. You're a carrier of the anointing, and the Holy Spirit needs to be able to flow through you, and not be caught somewhere. Or if God, you know, wants to pull something through you, it's got to be able to come through you. Yeah. It can't come through into the dirt, round this, up that, up through this and there. It's very hard for God to pull something through you. And it's really all to do with what I want to talk about this morning, which is about your mind. Anybody see my little crazy clip on the thing this week? Well, I'm talking this morning about the helmet of salvation. And it's really all about your mind, and it's all about your thinking. So far, we're building a great warrior in the spirit. Paul chose pieces of armoury, and he put a description on each of them. And we've talked about faith, and faith is that part of us that allows us to move forward. Then we talked about the sword of the spirit, which encourages us. It's a short word that encourages us. And then we talked about the lance of prayer, which destroys the enemy before it gets to you. You know, often we'll just wait for the enemy to come to us and we go, oh, heck, the enemy's on me. When really all it needed was a prayer. All it needed was to pray in the Spirit. All it needed was to push it back. And so that's the lance of prayer. Then last time I was on, I talked about the breastplate of righteousness, and I wore a big shiny piece of breastplate, chunk of metal. And I talked about that being like a mirror, and they polished it, and it was like a mirror to the enemy, your righteousness, because you are the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. Amen. We're going to talk a little bit more about righteousness in the coming weeks, but what it does to the enemy's eyes, it puts a glare in the enemy's eyes and disorientates the enemy. And today I want to talk about the helmet of salvation, and we're going to unpack that a little bit more today. And I'm reading all of this from Ephesians chapter 6, if you've got your Bible. But I'm reading very shortly here, verse 17. And it says, to take up the helmet of salvation. So we need to take it up. We need to pick it up. We need to get an understanding of what it is and put it on. And as I said, it protects the mind. It protects our thinking, and it's protecting our thoughts. Are you with me so far? Do you need a visual of it? Okay. Of course you need a visual. This one I bought for $14 off eBay, so this one wasn't as expensive. And here it is. The helmet of salvation. Don't I look smart? Well, it was foolishness for a Roman soldier. You be quiet. It's foolishness to wear a helmet in church. It's foolishness for a Roman soldier to go out into battle without his helmet on. It's really important because the enemy had what was called like a little battle axe. So it's a little short handle tomahawk type little battle axe thing that would come, if you weren't wearing it, they would chop your head off. What does this mean spiritually? And I'll try and be serious as I wear this. What does the spiritual soldier, what does it mean to wear the helmet of salvation? Well, like the armory, like the breastplate, it was protecting his heart. But this time, Paul's talking about protecting your mind, protecting your thinking this time. And so spiritually, it's really important how you think. And more so protecting the way you think. Because if you don't wear it, spiritually, the enemy comes to steal, rob and destroy, and he'll hack away at your thinking until your head's off. How's it go, Mick? Thank you. And so it's actual spiritual suicide not to wear or have an understanding of your thinking in Christ. Amen? So another small little thing is that the helmet was worn tightly around the head. This one's a little loose, but it was worn tightly on the soldier, and it needs to remain tight. Otherwise it just comes off, and if it comes off, you're in trouble, and the enemy just comes and he'll just hack away at you. And so, I wanted to talk about our thinking and where our thinking is directed, because if our thinking is directed into the carnal, you get into all sorts of trouble, into the flesh, into those kinds of thinkings. But my thinking needs to be directed more towards God and to his word and to what he says about you. So that's what it means by keeping a tight helmet of salvation on your head. Yeah? Is this making sense? I hope so. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says that we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. So we actually have to demolish these thoughts that we have against ourselves or against others. It's really important. I love demolishing things. I love getting the jackhammer out. We had to jackhammer that slab away to get to the conduit. We had to get a road saw out and do some cutting, do some digging, do some demolishing work. And really, a lot of us really need to get our spiritual jackhammer out and give it a good go, because our thinking's not straight. Our thinking's been wrong. We need to start to think about what God thinks about you and about others, and think about the words that are being spoken over your life. Could I just grab a glass of water, please? I'm just really dry. Thanks, Jill. I just want to take this off for a minute because it feels a bit weird. It looks it too. Thank you. Thanks for your encouragement. Your salvation... Oh, look at this. Water everywhere. Water. Thank you, Shane. Thank you, Julie. Your salvation really is the most elaborate, amazing thing, that the most amazing gift that God has given you. This plume was way much longer than that. It was like a horse hair that went right down the back of the soldier. It was bright. It was fluffy. It was, and they had lots of different carvings on their helmets. And it was a real showpiece. And we really do need, when we wear our helmet, to show it off. Because that's another part of this, is we need to show the rest of the world that we are saved. To show the rest of the world that God does live. That I have been redeemed. That I have been set free. That I am now the righteousness of God. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me now. That's the place I need to be. And I need to show it off. It was the most, really most amazing. It was intricate. It was elaborate. It was ornate. And this was the gift of God to you. I want to pick up on a story. I don't normally read from a book when I preach, but I really can't say it better than what this little story says. And this book was lying around the back of the church, and I picked it up, and it's the 70 Great Christians. And so there's some amazing Christians all the way from the disciples all the way through to today. And we're reading some of this book on our journey to Lismore a couple of weeks ago. And we were reading about Martin Luther. Now, Martin Luther was a reformer. So we're going back into the 1500s. So about 500 years ago, this is an amazing story. Who knows the story about Martin Luther with the 95-point thing that he posted on the, you know, the church door, the castle door in Wittenberg? And so Martin Luther was on a pilgrimage back in 1510. So permit me just to read a little bit. Is that okay? It's just a little story. In 1510, he went on a pilgrimage to Rome. He took the opportunity to make confession and celebrate Mass. He sought pastoral advice, but to no avail. He crawled up the 28 steps of the Scala Sancta, supposed to be the staircase of Pilate's house, where Jesus descended after his condemnation, saying a Pater Noster, whatever that is, on each step, reckoning to free his soul from purgatory, yet he had no sense of forgiveness. So he's walking down these 28 stairs, and someone's singing. That's awesome if they are. Great. It's step music. So every step that he stood on, he was supposed to be getting freer and freer and freer. Okay, the 28 steps. Yet he had no sense of forgiveness. While ascending the steps, to his son later recounted, a verse from Habakkuk came to his mind: "The righteous shall live by his faith." But an inner voice challenged him: "How do I know all this is true?" He returned to Germany, greatly saddened by his failure to find peace. The thought struck him that the church had lost the key to the kingdom. And he later said, "Like a fool, I took onions to Rome and bought back garlic." Under the conviction of sin, Luther was obsessed with a sense of guilt and felt that he could not survive the judgment of God. At the university, his mentor, we'll just call him Harry, a philosopher, tried to soothe his mind and endeavoured to remind Luther of God's forgiving mercy, yet pointing out that it was also necessary to work hard to deserve God's salvation. A voice that brought little comfort. The matter came to a head in 1513 when Luther was preparing his lectures on the Psalms and he read a familiar phrase in Psalm 31, "Deliver me in thy righteousness." Previously, he had understood righteousness to be the judgment of a holy God towards sinful man, an idea that caused him considerable unease. But when his thoughts turned to Romans 1:17, where he read that man was made right with God by faith and not by works, he began to realise that the New Testament idea of righteousness was not one of punishment, but that it was God's nature to show mercy and forgiveness. "And when I realised this," wrote Luther, "I felt myself absolutely born again." Which is really interesting. So here's a guy that's been studying the word for years and years and years. It still hasn't come to the realisation of God's forgiveness and mercy and his righteousness towards him, but then gets saved. I love that. "And when I realised this," wrote Luther, "I felt myself absolutely saved. The gates of paradise had been flung open and I had entered. There and then the whole of Scripture took on another look to me." That's interesting. Who knows when you got saved, when you had that connection with God, all of a sudden the Scriptures looked different. Your neighbour looked different. Even you looked different. Luther had rediscovered a gospel truth that had lain dormant and hidden for hundreds of years, that salvation is the gift of God and no amount of religion ritual can reconcile the sinner to the Almighty God. No longer was he under the threat of eternal damnation, for God had declared him the righteousness of Christ. Powerful. When I read that, Belinda read it actually because I was driving. That would be not right for me to read the book while I was driving. But it was really interesting. It just stuck out to me because I said, that's it. That's what it's all about. That's the message. It's now of faith. It's now of righteousness. That's what salvation is all about. And Ephesians 2:4-9 says it the best way, if you've got your Bible there. Ephesians 2:4-9. "Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, that no one can boast." We know that scripture fairly well if we've been hanging around church for a while. But it's very interesting. I wanted to now, if I could, just unpack the word salvation. Now, in here, the word saved comes up twice, and it's the Greek word sozo. Now, sozo means to save or saved, bring safely, get well, made well, preserved, recover, and restore. It's a large word, which mean not just meaning salvation, but also healing, physical healing. It's very easy for us to believe in our salvation because it is of faith and we can't see it. Something happens on the inside, you know you're changed, yeah? And often we forget that it's the same amount of faith to believe for the healing as well. So we should have it as well. So this word sozo unpacks so many different veins of thought and thinking, and is much bigger than what we think. When we know inside and out that our salvation puts a helmet of protection on our head, then the enemy can't easily hack away at your mind. So when you get to an understanding of this, so it's an understanding of your redemption in Christ. It's of the cross, you know, the cross, and that's why we have communion a lot, because we focus on the cross and we focus on the redemptive work of what Christ did for us and set us free and has forgiven us now. These are the things that we should study, that we should know. Romans 12:2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's renewing your mind what against? It's against the word. It's against what God says. So I need to reconcile with God and the way he thinks, the way he thinks and the way things that he does. So be reconciled also. Know about his healing. Study about healing. This word sozo is right through. I've got six pages of scriptures that use the word sozo, saved. And it's absolutely amazing where it turns up in what scriptures it turns up in. Know that his desire is to bless and to prosper you. We talk a lot about that, yet we struggle. We find it hard sometimes to receive the blessings of God. But God really does want to bless you and prosper you. Know his grace that is at work inside of you. There's lots of things that we can unpack, and this is all part of wearing that helmet of salvation. Our identity in Christ, it's really, really important that we understand that. That, you know, Romans 6, it talks about that you were, you know, you're crucified with Christ, you were buried with Christ, you're now raised with Christ, and now you're seated at the right hand with Christ. So that whole process and just getting understanding of your identity is in Christ. Doing a lot of talking. Somehow this has to get in more than mental assent. It has to be spirit. Often we tend to go towards the flesh, the carnal, in our thinking, even with God, even with church, even with our thoughts. But in the clearing of the conduit, there has to be a flow of the Spirit flowing through somewhere that affects and changes the world around you. Yeah? It's really a new, we talk about wineskin, but it's really a different mind skin. You are the conduit that carries God to this world. And it can't be just mental assent. It has to be an experience with God. And I trust you've had that experience with God, but we need to have that as an ongoing experience with God. It's really important that we do. Continually have times of refreshing. Continually have that conduit being filled full of his presence and flowing through. And knocking the thoughts, the bad thoughts out, and just letting it go. in a couple of messages ago, it's probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 messages ago, I was talking about the mind. And do you remember I was talking about how the enemy uses a road, and he uses plays mind games with you, and then if you let it go and you bite down on the bait, it's like a bomb that goes off in you, and then it ends up being a stronghold. It's another message back there. But that's exactly what I'm talking about today, is that Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armour of God, which is what we're getting an understanding of right now, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And that word wiles is methodos, with a road. The enemy uses a road into your mind. Years ago, I did a bit of a study on the brain, and I don't normally study things like that, but basically things are learned, the way things we learn are little electrical impulses that travel on little roads through your brain. And so every time you think ice cream, your brain goes, ding, 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 yum. Okay? Every time you look into your wife's face, Dave, your brain goes, ding, 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 I love her. And God created it that way. It's really important that we understand that. But the enemy comes, if you don't wear your thinking correctly, the enemy will come and use the same road for negative. Could be bullied at school. The road goes, do, 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 do. Take it for your own. I don't want to put any more negatives out there, but you know what I mean. And we need to put up a roadblock on those things in our thinking. It's all in our thinking, and create a new thinking. So when that thinking comes that, like, I'm no good, or I can't achieve this, or the fear grips me that I can't move, you need to change your thinking. You need to put a roadblock up and start to declare and decree what God says about you. And then the conduit starts to get freer and his spirit starts to move through again. First Peter 1:13 says, therefore, prepare your mind for action, or gird up the loins of your mind to Christ. And so I just want to end on this little bit, which is basically, help me think straight, God. When I'm around the fire last night, I'm going, help me think straight, God. I'm going, oh, I don't want to think this way, but, you know, sometimes hurts of the past and feelings of the past, or situations they attract the senses, your natural senses, and it empowers it even more, you know. Like, I'll think of a positive one, okay, not a negative one. When Belinda puts a baked dinner on the table and I smell it, my mind goes crazy, but my senses do too. And it reminds me of my mum when she used to cook her baked dinners and I used to eat them. So there's always this, your senses are very much attached to your thinking as well. If you've had a bad experience, say, I don't know, if you've had a bad experience in worship, say, it didn't work out, like something happened, then the enemy, if you don't have your thinking straight and your helmet on tight, your thinking's out. And the enemy's got a chance to hack away at that thinking and make you feel bad. Take you back to that place again. No, you need to put a roadblock up. Roadblock, roadblock. What's God say? What is the new experience I want to have? 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." I'm praying that we would have a sound mind. It's really important that we have that, that we think straight. This is really simple. This is an Anthony-ism, if you want to call it that. Good thinking means a tight helmet. Bad thinking, loose helmet. So if our good thinking keeps a tight helmet, we are less susceptible to the enemy. When we fill our mind with the goodness of God, a renewing takes place. A transformation takes place. That's why Philippians 4:8 says, "Think on these things, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right and pure and lovely. Think on these things. Think on things that are admirable, that are excellent, that are praiseworthy. Think on such things." What does this do? It keeps your helmet on tight. It keeps it on tight. I wanted to do all those things today, but I feel a little melancholy today. But if my bad thinking, it makes the helmet very loose and susceptible to the battle axe that comes. The enemy comes to steal, rob and destroy, and off with your head. Romans 8:6 says, "The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind that's controlled by the Spirit is life and peace." We need to be controlled by the Spirit. We need to keep our helmet of salvation on. Keep it tight. It'll make it right on the night. It's out of sight with all his might. This is not a load of tripe. I don't know about you, but I need to have more of an understanding of my salvation, of his redemptive work and of the cross inside of me. I've been doing this for a fair while now, but I still need it more. If I need it, you need it. And just I keep renewing my mind to he wants to heal, he wants to set free. If that's you this morning, I'd love to pray with you today. If you don't know God, if you don't know of his salvation, and I say that carefully here because I look around and I see many faces here that have been in church for a long time. If we were to calculate how many years, it'd be a long time, probably 500 years or something like that. And I don't know whether you've been discipled or you have an understanding of your salvation, but I still want to put it out there and say, and really it is just, I want to know God more. I want to know him more. If that's you, I'd love to pray for you. And as I say, that unpacking of the word sozo means far more than salvation. It means healing too. And if your body is not well today, we should be able to apply the same amount of faith to salvation and see you healed as well. So if that's you today, I'd love to pray for you too. And how we do that, I don't know. You know, we can get into, you know, I'll come out on the altar, or we're going to close the service now, go and eat a pie. Do we do pies, Pete? Pete's pies? There's a little slogan for you. Um, I believe God's Spirit's here right now. And he's moving on us. And he's working on us deeply in our thinking. We must maintain our thinking and line our thinking up towards God and his promises. It's really important. Just while we're thinking about that, I want to pray for Keith and I. Oh, let's pray for the whole Altron family then. All not well. Father, I thank you, God, right now for the Altron family. We just extend our hand out towards them, Father God, right now. That whatever is attacking them in the natural and in the spiritual, I call it to cease right now. And Father, I thank you for this mighty family, that God, you've called them, that you've equipped them, that you have put great giftings and calling upon their lives, each and every one of four of them. And so, Father, I thank you, God, right now that just by your hand, your healing anointing right now go through this family. Right from the head through Keith, through Di, through Joey, through Kira Lee. Father, I thank you, God, right now that this is a mighty family of God. I declare great things over you guys, and there's so much more to do. There is so much more to do. Don't turn off your thinking about the promises of God, the words that have been spoken over you. We speak life over you today and healing over you today in your precious name. Amen. Tom, when I was getting up this morning, I always ask God, do you want me to say something to anybody? And he showed me a retaining wall. And I know you've got retaining walls in the backyard that you've painstakingly built layer upon layer. And I said to God, who's that? And he said, Tom. And I've waited all the way to now to let you know that God saw every little bit that you did there. Painstakingly chipping away. Your wife saw it too. But God saw your heart in laying every one of those. And he wants to just say to you today, it's little by little, faith on faith. And I just sense there, I saw you standing on top of the completed work, and it's complete, and you were proud. And then I saw you throwing off the what's the certificate that you got, Tom and Isabel? Yeah, Bachelor of Nursing. You went and saw Isabel get her bachelor degree, and she threw off the cap. You know how they throw off the cap? And you did it. And you put it on your head. And I saw you standing there with the Bachelor of Nursing cap on and the cloak and as a completed work. And it was like you were standing there proud. And God saying, I am proud of you and your family and what you've imparted into your family and all of your kids. And just wanted for God to say he sees you, encourages you today. And I didn't know when to bring that, but I just brought it now, and I just sense God's all over you and your family. The best is yet to come. There's so much more. Yes, you've completed this thing, but you're going to take a step now into not so much the things of the natural, but the things of the spirit. That's what I sort of sense God's saying to you. Is there anybody that needs healing today? Anybody else? One, two, three, four, five, six. Oh, look, why don't you all put your hands up? This little one, beautiful little one. Well, based on your faith, putting your hand up and saying, yes, I want to pray for you. So just put your hand up if that's you. Father, I thank you, God, right now for every one of these hands is up. And some are having to be held up because you've been tormented and sort of been bashed, and it's like it's very hard for you even to put your hand up. But God's saying, I want to encourage you today. I want my presence to hit you and to heal you today in your body. And so, Father, I thank you, God, for sozo, the word sozo, and just for healing today in your precious name in this body of Christ, in every one of these vessels today, Father God. I thank you, God, that you're gonna just keep healing them right now. And we're going to have great testimony, Father God, of the healing power of God here right now in this service. Thank you, Jesus. God touching you now. Allow him to touch you. Sometimes we've got to preach freedom to get freedom. And some, you're probably going to have to preach it to yourself. Yes, and Lord, we extend to Linda as well, who's in hospital down in Hornsby. Father, we thank you for just your hand upon her right now in this difficult time with her hips and all of that. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy today on this church and the people that are in it. We look forward to great testimony of today. In your precious name, amen.
Thank you for downloading this podcast. If you would like more information about our church, visit centrallife.com.au.